fairly confident now that Alima was not going to attack, at least physically, Luke moved his hand away from his lightsaber and advanced to within a few steps of the Twi'lek.
Well, what are you doing here?
Just stopping by to let us know you and Lomi Plo are still alive? Alima gave a low throat click, then said,
Lomi Plo died in the crash.
With Welk, I suppose.
Exactly,
Alima said. Luke sighed in frustration. So we're back to that, are we? He had slain Welk during the fight at Korribu, only a few minutes after he had cut Alima's shoulder half off, and he had good reason to believe that the apparition that had nearly killed him and Mara was what remained of Lomi Plo.
Alima, you were at Kerr. You saw Welk before I killed him, and it had to be Lomi Plo who pulled you out of the nest at the end. You killed Beta Gorog, Alima said. She was the Night Herald before us.
The person I killed was male. Luke suspected he was arguing a lost cause. The Dark Nest remained determined to hide the survival of Lomi Plo behind a veil of lies and false memories, and as a sort of collective unconscious for the entire colony, it was adept at manipulating the beliefs of joiners and Killix alike.
He had a lightsaber, and he knew how to use it. Beta Gorog was Force-sensitive.
A lewd smile came to Alima's lips.
And as we recall, you did not take the time to check inside her pants before you killed her.
Luke let his chin drop.
Alima, you disappoint me. The feeling is mutual, Master Skywalker,
Alima said.
We have not forgotten the slaughter at Kerr.
There wouldn't have been a slaughter if you had done your duty as a Jedi. Luke sensed a familiar presence creeping toward him, skulking its way under the stern of the old star barge, and realized that Han had returned to the hangar without C-3PO.
But you let your anger make you weak, and the Dark Nest took advantage.
Alima's unblinking eyes turned the color of chlorine.
Don't blame us for what?
I'll lay the blame where it belongs. As a master of the Jedi Council, that is my duty and my privilege. Hoping to keep Alima's attention too riveted on him to notice Han sneaking up behind her, Luke moved to within lightsaber range of the Twi'lek. Now I ask you one last time to return to Ossus. I know it will be hard to face those you betrayed, but
we are not interested in redemption or anything else you have to offer, Master Skywalker. We are here with...
Alima stopped in mid-sentence and cocked her head, then reached for her lightsaber. Luke had already extended his arm and was summoning the weapon to himself, literally ripping Alima's belt off her waist and leaving the Twi'lek with an empty hand as Han hit her in the flank with a stun bolt. Alima dropped to her knees, but did not fall, so Han fired again. This time, the Twi'lek collapsed onto her face and lay on the hangar floor, twitching and drooling. Han leveled the weapon to fire again.
That's enough, Luke said. Are you trying to kill her?
As a matter of fact, yeah.
Han scowled at the setting switch on the barrel of his blaster, then thumbed it to the opposite position.
I could have sworn I had it set on full power.
Luke shook his head in dismay, then used the force to turn the weapon's barrel away from Alima.
Sometimes I wonder if I still know you, Han. She's defenseless.
She's a Jedi, Han said. She's never defenseless.
Still, he flicked the selector switch back to stun, then stood behind the Twi'lek and pointed the barrel at her head. Luke removed her lightsaber from her belt, then squatted on the floor in front of her and waited until she started to come around, which was incredibly quickly, even for a Jedi.
Sorry about that, Luke said. Han's still a little sore about what you did to the Falcon.
Alima opened one eye.
He always did carry a grudge.
She struggled to bring Luke into focus, then said,
But perhaps you should make something clear to him. We are not at your mercy.
A tremendous clamor rumbled through the hangar as nearby insects began to drop their loads and scurry toward the star barge.
You are at ours.